91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Today's program begins with grief counselor and author Lihia Huben. She's developed an online program which shows how one fills the void left after severe emotional loss. In minutes, we'll learn about her 11 principles of transformation. And each Thursday, bring chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. We'll learn more about a cool Miami-Dade County Public Schools program called The Edible Garden. Students and teachers plant, tend, and harvest foods, which are then served in school meals. Wine columnist Fred Tasker joins us as well. That's Topical Currents up next after the news.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Today I've got the day right, Bonnie.
You do. Good.
Of course, Bonnie is with us. We've had a nice afternoon, a nice leisurely lunch.
We have.
We should start each day like this.
Yes. It's very nice to start. We did have lunch with Terry Nolan and William Breedlove, who came to visit. They're members of WLRN.
We stress that membership aspect.
And I also want to say that the Books and Books at the Arch Center was nice enough to provide us with lunch.
Good for them.
It was lovely to meet you, Terry, William, and thank you for being with us. This hour, we begin with a visit by certified grief counselor Lihia Huben. She studied and has affiliations with the University of Miami, Florida International University, and St. Thomas University.
She's the executive director of the Center for Transforming Lives in Miami, and also the author of Transform Your Life, Your Guide to Strength and Hope.
She also offers a 12-week online coaching program called The 11 Principles of Transformation. We welcome you, Lihia.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, gentlemen. It is a pleasure, as always, to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. So I understand you experienced a great loss when you were 12 years old. You lost your dad. Do you want to tell us about that and exactly what process that took or what form that took when you were just 12?
Thank you, Bonnie. Well, yes, when I was 12, I lost my father. I'm from Nicaragua, and he died when we were living there. He died in Miami, actually, and it was very, very difficult, very painful, and that was a loss that I had in my heart for so many years. And what happened is that sometime after he died, many years after, actually, I wrote the book, Transform Your Loss, Your Guide to Strength and Hope, inspired by this huge loss. And it's dedicated to him, no, to his memory. And what I did was that I took all this pain, all this process that I went through, and I transformed it myself. And that is how I wrote the book. And in the book is that I introduced the 11 principles of transformation, because my desire, and it is my purpose, and that is my purpose in life, actually, is to help others facing a loss, not only the death of a loved one, but any difficult and painful life transition that, you know, that we all go through, to help them transform that, to process that, and be able to embrace life again.
Many people with a big loss, especially a death of a loved one, they grieve very hard for a few days and then kind of, well, I'm over it. But obviously you think that's the wrong approach.
Well, thank you for that, because what happens is that, as I say, we are all unique people. Grief is unique. We have different ways of processing.
Exactly.
And that is what happens, that, you know, sometimes people take longer time, some other people take shorter time. In my case, I continue to live and all that. However, there were times, and especially when I studied death and dying at UM and all other processes, I realized that intellectually I had accepted the loss of my father, but emotionally it was a void. So, yeah.
Do you think that, as Joe mentioned, you know, and as you mentioned, we are all individuals, you know, the loss is, you know, and the loss itself can be more severe or less severe, and the people experiencing loss are so different. So do you think that all loss is an opportunity for growth?
I believe that, yes. Well, it depends on our attitude. I think that it has to do with how we take it. Because something happens to two people, the same event.
Right.
And you can see that they may have different responses, different reactions. One may stay dwelling on the pain and staying there in a dark place and just staying there. And the other person goes through the process, because I do believe that we need to process grief. Because if not, stays there. So, and we can internalize it and all that. So, but the other person processes the grief, takes it, and even sometimes thrives after that loss. So I believe that it has to do with our attitude. It has to do with our perspective and our personality as well.
When do most people finally say, okay, I have processed this. I fondly remember him or her. But I'm going on, and I'm not going to be letting this tie me down anymore.
It's my perspective, no, my opinion. It's when you feel that you remember, because, you know, some people ask me, Ligia, when will I forget? We do not forget.
Right.
Because love is eternal. However, it's when we can continue. We get inspired by that loss, and we continue. So it's not that grief that keeps us tied down, that's so, you know, that doesn't allow us to continue, but keeps us in that dark place. It's when we continue with that loss in our heart, but we learn how to live with that loss.
How did you turn your book, which was Transform Your Life, Your Guide for Strength and Hope, into this online 11 Principles of Transformation, which we are going to get to, of course?
Okay, thank you. And the beauty is, and that's why I'm so super grateful to be here today, is because when I wrote the book, Transform Your Loss, it's when I had the honor to know Joe, you know, when I was here the first time. And yes, so that's where the 11 principles were introduced.
I see.
Yes, because the thing is that the book is a self-help book for people going through losses, death, divorce, loss of a job. And I started saying what losses are, how grief is manifested, and then it has a collection of 60 real stories of loss. But then I said, oh, but I want to give something to the reader. I want to give tools and help them with something that they could use in their own grieving process. And that's how the 11 principles came to happen. So they just came out of my heart, and, you know, yes.
Now, it's a 12-week online coaching program. How does the coaching work, and do I really have to stay with it for 12 weeks? It seems like a long time.
I know, right? Yes, yes. I know, and that is most likely the common response, what you said, yes, because we want to feel better now. We want to feel better fast. The thing is that with the 12 weeks, there are 11 principles. So it would be a principle per week. And then the first week is the introduction of what losses
What's
are.
What's the first principle?
Accept your loss.
So I go around for a week accepting my loss.
Well, you go around in the week doing some exercises and reflective exercises and participating in the forum and in sharing your story and being inspired by other stories. I'll be doing also a live webinar.
So, you know, is it interactive?
Week. It has a forum so people can share. And of course, you know, because there are two formats, one that it's automated and the other one that it's with live webinars.
I see.
A weekly webinar. And the thing is that, again, this is a process. This is a process. The 11 principles are put together as a system that can help people with present losses, with past losses that sometimes we have not processed,
right,
and something triggers that and come back, and also as a guide for future losses that we all go through life. However, I wanted to say something what Joe said, that it was super important. Okay, so 1 week I accept my loss, and that's it. You continue that, because acceptance by itself is a process. So there are different elements, different components in the system itself that will help the person going through a grief or a process to embrace life again. That doesn't mean that suddenly,
right,
that's it. Now, some tools, there are tools that help you. But again, you know, people take their time. They can do it over and over again. So it depends on where the person
now,
is.
Now, when I'm online, am I with a group or is it just with you?
Well, when you are online, you go on your own. So there is, you do your exercises, you know, your reflection. I call them moments of reflection, reflective exercises and all that. We do meditations. I send MP3s, meditation, affirmations. And what the person does is they do their, you know, exercises and all that. And they're journaling. You know, I like to call it journaling as well. Send them to do some rituals and all that. And then there's a forum that people go there sharing with others. And then weekly, I come, as you know, in a weekly webinar, talking about the principle, not guiding them how it is that they can embrace that principle, apply it. And then at the end, I have 15 minutes that people can, you know, ask questions. And if they are confused on how to do this, to do that, of course, they can always communicate with me.
I just wanted to ask what this goal transformation is that's taking place on September 28th. How is that different from just the 11 principles of transformation?
Okay, yes, because there are two. Bronze, the bronze level, which is automated, that without the webinars. The one, the gold level is with the 12 weekly webinars.
Okay.
Thank you for the question, yes.
Okay, we're speaking with Lihia Huben. She has written written Transform Your Life, Your Guide to Strength and Hope, but now has an online 12-week course called The 11 Principles of Transformation, which we're going to get more into after we take this short break on Topical Current. Stay with us. Welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and we're speaking with Lihia Huben. She is the author of Transform Your Loss, that's your loss, Your Guide to Strength and Hope, and offers a 12-week online coaching program called The 11 Principles of Transformation. So we're going to get to more of the principles. The first one is acceptance, but you've branched out now, it seems, and are trying to work more with veterans with PTSD, is that correct?
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Well, that is one of the population that I think would be great to do the program. And I'll tell you why. Because when the first website for the book was created, Transform Your Loss, I hired someone who, you know, was referred to me. And this guy sent me an email saying, Ms. Huben, I want to speak with you. I sent him the book as a gift. So he called me and he said, well, I just read your book. He said, I am a veteran. He was 29 years old. He had lost a leg. And he said, Ms. Huben, we need that book. We need those principles. That's the philosophy we need when we come back. And that touched my heart. That did, because I said, wow, this young man. And he was so empowered because he said, we go through loss and we grieve. Yes, and it's so important to recognize that. However, it depends how we take it. It depends if we want to continue. So I always remember what he told me. And I said, you know what? Maybe this time with the online program, it's the perfect platform to make this happen.
Well, not only can they lose limbs, they lose their friends in front of them. They lose their life as they know it.
Yeah, because that's what we call multiple losses. Because sometimes we go through one primary loss, and then we may have secondary losses,
right,
which are multiple losses. So that makes it like, you know.
You said there are different categories of loss. Can you categorize how you see the categories of loss?
The way I see it is like loss is when something that, you know, someone very dear to us is not with us anymore, or something as well. And, you know, the greatest for me, you know, is the loss of a loved one to death. but there are, you know, loss of relationships, divorce, loss of a job. That's a huge one. Financial losses, loss of homeland for immigrants. So many losses that we go, you know, even aging. When we lose our youth. Yes. Sure. When I have had the live seminars, I have had several people, you know, in particular women, sharing that, how difficult it is to accept we are aging, because we are all aging. Depends how we take it. When we take care of our aging parents, that's a huge one. I'm taking care of my beloved mother. She's 96. And that touches your heart. You know, when you see the difficulties, you know, physical difficulties and all that. So we go through transition, empty nest. When children go away to college and the mother comes and tells you, "Ligia, I'm missing my child." So sometimes mixed emotions. Something makes you happy, excited and proud. She went to college. And at the same time, you go to the empty room. I'm like, "Oh, I miss her." So, you know, so many transitions, no, that we go through in life.
You use the term emotional depletion. I guess I know what that means, but why don't you tell me?
Emotional depletion. It's when we just feel empty. We feel empty. When something very hard happens to us, we have that void. That it's like you're drained. You feel totally depleted. And it's like when you are that empty, it's like you feel hopeless, and hopeless is, you know, doesn't give you any meaning to continue. So when we feel depleted emotionally and hopeless, is when you need that help. Someone, whoever it is, that comes to you and says, "You know what? I am here for you. I'm here next to you to help you get that hope again for a brighter future."
We're speaking with Ligia Hubin. She's the author of Transform Your Loss, Your Guide to Strength and Hope, and has an online coaching program called The 11 Principles of Transformation. If you have a question for Ligia or a comment, our number is 1-800-743-9576. We have a little bit of time.
Might be faster to email. That's radio@wlrn.org.
radio@wlrn.org. One question I feel like I need to ask you is, what makes your course different from other methods that we have been exposed to or go through with loss, like, you know, whatever they may be?
Okay, thank you for the question too. The idea of putting together perennial principles, core principles, because I talk a lot about being grateful, forgiveness, love, loving yourself, taking care of yourself. So it's going through the process. The first two principles are strong ones, no?
Okay,
going
acceptance.
Through the grief, accept your loss and live your grief. Go through grief.
Okay.
Yes, you cannot ignore it.
Right.
Because what we ignore doesn't cease to exist. It's repressed. But after those first two principles, everything goes like empowering, embracing, you know, being grateful, taking care of yourself, expressing your feelings, because sometimes we go around in life wearing a mask, concealing our real feelings. It's important to express. It's different than dwelling, but expressing, you know, sharing with others. So different principles put together, that is a positive outlook to life. That's the difference. Yes, that you go through the grief, but you don't stay there. You continue embracing life.
And what is the line between going through it and dwelling on it? Where is that fine line?
Okay. I call it, when you are dwelling, it's when you are complaining all the time. When you stay like in a victim role, because we may stay there.
Right.
And some people need to be there for some time. But that is the difference, when you are dwelling or when you are sharing. You know,
okay.
So that's the difference.
So one is complaining, the other is
exactly just
sharing.
Dwelling. This happened, the other one, you know, this happened to me. What to do about it?
Right.
Okay. You share, what to do about it? Yes.
And we have a caller here, Ginny in Redland. Hi there.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment that I lost my mother 13 years ago, a little over 13 years ago, and my sister 5 days later. Mm. And I had that numbness, that sense of emptiness. I totally relate to what she was talking about at that time. My mother was very, very dear to me. But my father, who was just died a few months ago, lived in my house for 13 years. He was 97 plus. And I've dealt with that much better, but I can tell you that with every day that passes or each, you know, I feel like he's disappearing. I don't know if she understands that feeling, but anyway.
Well, let's ask her. Go ahead, Leah.
Stay on the line.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for sharing, and my heart goes out to you for the losses that you know, your mother, your father, and your sister. And the thing is that the grief that we experience, it has to do a lot with attachment as well, with the relationship, and every single loss is different. And the way that we express grief, which is the natural response to a loss, is different. So maybe back then, when you lost your mom, your mother, you experienced it differently and you expressed it differently with that emptiness that you shared, and with your dad now, different as well. So, and it has to do with where you are, you know, how you have dealt, because that also has to do based on the history of your losses. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Again, our number is 1-800-743-9576. Leah, we experience loss usually as an emotional issue, but you talk about how it extends to every aspect of our lives, including physically. Talk about that a little.
Yes. Well, yes. And I can relate to that because, and it's like when I confirmed all this, no? Last year, at the beginning of last year, I was hit by a car while crossing the street. And I almost lost a leg, and I needed reconstructive surgery. I feel so grateful and blessed to be here. And, you know, my head was, you know, up and lost consciousness. So it was really serious. And it's when I realized, of course, that was a huge loss because it was a loss of health. And something that I discovered that made me think, wow, this is so amazing. Because I tried to get whatever experience I have in life, like a learning experience, so I can learn to live better and I can help my clients as well. So when I went through that loss, I experienced one loss, which is huge, the loss of independence. Mm. The loss of independence. And that gave me great awareness because a population that I have worked extensively in the past is older adults. So it said, oh my God, this is really huge when we lose our independence and we depend on others. So that is another loss, that it has to do with how we take it.
Well, do we have another call there, Joe, that you...
It's not quite up yet.
Oh, okay. And it also can manifest, though, when I was thinking physically, not just the physical loss, but it can also we get sick.
Yes, the loss of health. And again, we go through different processes, you know, treatment, procedures, the fear, of course, that you do not know the outcome. Again, so it's focusing on what you can do about it, because something happens to us, an event, an illness, whatever happens to us, it depends how we respond. Yes.
If we're going to take that call, we better get them
in.
Angelica in Deerfield. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah,
I would
ahead.
Love to ask a question. How do I deal with this? My children, I have three, and two of them are with me in America. They are adults of course, already, 39 and 35, and they are totally detached from me, what I can hardly handle. And I don't know how to handle it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing.
This was my guilt feeling. I left their father. I'm divorced because of situations in life. So how can I handle that?
Okay. Thank you for asking. So you have two children here with you. And that is something that you made that decision to come here, and it was important for you to make that decision, and you are with your children. So, and yes, it is painful, and you go through that, and you know, you can do different things, you know, to write about it, to help you with the feelings, but again, to focus on what you have here now, which are your other two children. So that is important.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you very much, but this was misunderstood. My two children I brought here, I raised here, and just a couple of years ago, they were just going away from me, and I don't understand that.
Okay.
This is what I don't understand. Yeah.
Okay, so now it is difficult to accept. I understand that, but we need to process that, and there are ways that you can do that. Maybe, you know, writing about it, finding ways to be in touch with them, but we need to let go. They're just telling me that.
So yeah, unfortunately, we're so sorry, Angelica, but we do have to go. We've been speaking, and we wish you well. We've been speaking with Ligia Huben. She's a life coach, grief counselor, and author. She's the founder of My Meaningful Life and executive director of the Center for Transforming Lives in Miami. The 11 Principles of Transformation.com is the website. We didn't get to Ambassadors of Transformation.com. I'm sorry, Ligia. And the book is entitled Transform Your Loss, Your Guide to Strength and Hope. We thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. Thank you, Joe. And thank you, gentlemen.
Food and Dining is next. And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. It's Food and Dining Thursday. And of course, that brings in our good friend, chef, author, and syndicated columnist, Linda Gassenheimer. What about braving a potential storm, Linda? Are you prepared?
We're not going to talk about it.
Right.
Because
if we don't about it, it won't happen.
Right. It may not happen, and we'll be prepared, right. And we're going to enjoy ourselves.
Well, we'll just stay aware. Youngsters are back in school now, and Linda has more information about a rather, well, ambitious and tasty program in Miami-Dade. What do you have, Linda?
It's amazing. You know, we've talked about edible gardens before, but now they have food forests. And when I mentioned it last year, somebody said to me, "What is that?" Well, we're going to find out about that. And we're going to find out how they're impacting the students in the schools and their families. So our guest has some very interesting answers and information for us. Debbie LaBelle is the manager of the garden program of the Education Fund. So welcome, Debbie.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And also with us is Kathy Nunnally. She's a teacher at Charles White Elementary School, and she's in charge of the gardens there. So welcome, Kathy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you both. You've brought an amazing platter for her. We're going to talk all about that. But we'd also love to hear from you, our listeners. Does your student have a school garden, or do you have some questions or suggestions about school gardens? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN.
And radio@WLRN.org is our email.
Great. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, we're going to hear from our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and he gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes columns in the Miami Herald. And you can read Fred's wine column in Saturday's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, you're talking about all these vegetables, so I think I will talk about the wine you would serve with them if you were not at school and if you were an adult.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's first go to Debbie LaBelle. First of all, what is a food forest?
A food forest is an expansion on the traditional, you know, small box garden. So we kind of blow that box to pieces, and we make an entire area at the school edible. So everything from the trees to the bushes to the shrubs to the ground cover, everything in the area is edible. Mm.
So how does it work? I mean, it's separate from the edible garden. I mean, how are they different, the two of them?
No, it's an edible garden. It's just an edible landscape instead of an edible garden. It's just you go into an area of the school and everything there is edible. So instead of
I
just
guess you have to pay a lot of attention, though, to the sun and which plants want more sun and which less, to what gets planted under what.
Well, that's where a forest comes in handy, because the trees shade the other tree, the bushes, and then the bushes shade the smaller plants, and they all work together and help each other.
What are some of the bushes that are edible?
We have the roselles. We have about three or four different types of hibiscus that we're putting in, a couple different spinaches, we have, you can do bay rums and.
Well, let's talk about some of these. Kathy, you tend some of the gardens, and so tell us, let's talk about this platter because it's beautiful. And by the way, I've put the picture up on Facebook and all because this platter is just gorgeous. And we're going to have it, I'm holding it up so it can be on Periscope. If you're on Periscope, you can see it as well. but you talk, well, first of all, there's a beautiful purple flower on here. What is it?
That's called a butterfly pea. So that's a vine plant. The actual flower is edible, and it's the kids love it when we put it into salads because it's so bright and colorful. Or they can flavor waters with it. It has a nice sweet flavor to it.
Okay, and Kathy, you work with the children, the students in the gardens and all. How do they respond to something like this?
They are extremely excited about learning all the new things that they had never had an opportunity to do before. They love the fact that they get to grow it, and then they get to eat it, and they can take it home with them.
And so you send bags of the produce home?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
And how do the families respond to that?
Very well. They are now having food at home that these kids are going to eat that are vegetables that they've never eaten before, and maybe the parents have never tried them before.
So in school, are these snack samples, or does it wind up in the cafeteria food?
Both.
Oh, it does.
I teach PE, so I do some nutrition out in our PE classes, and then in our harvest club, we take the food, we pick it, and we take it into the cafeteria, and the cafeteria staff uses it in salads.
Health Foundation of South Florida has been helping us, and Department of Food and Nutrition in Miami-Dade County Schools. So we're working with the cafeteria managers in 25 of our garden schools this year, and we're putting it. You know, we're working with the cafeteria managers and making them aware of what's growing in the gardens and how to incorporate it into their school lunches.
Huh. That purple flower, what is it again?
A butterfly pea.
It is so delicious. It's like nutty. It tastes nutty, actually.
And it attracts the butterflies.
Bonnie's been sitting here eating all of these. There's more on that platter. And she won't let anybody have it.
Well, I thought I was the last one to get it. I'm sorry.
But there are other things on this platter that smells so delicious. I'm holding up here a red leaf. It almost looks like a maple leaf. What is this?
That is called a cranberry hibiscus, and that has got to be one of the kids' favorite leaves that we have in the schools. It's one of those bush plants, and it tastes just like a cranberry. So, you know,
it's very sour, I must say.
Yeah, kids love that, those extreme flavors, and it has that little sourness to it, and
the flavor explodes in your mouth when you first bite it. And now imagine that being into a salad. Mm.
And it has a tartness to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
that's why it's called cranberry. And then there's some other leaves. I mean, it's very tart, he's finding out.
Yes.
He's turned red in the face.
Which one is that?
The cranberry.
Okay, so what are some of the other leaves that are on there?
It does taste like.
The green leaf is a roselle, which is what they make. The calyx is what they actually make the hibiscus tea out of. But the leaf is edible as well. And it has a little bit of that sour taste as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll make you pucker a little bit.
So, and it's just a beautiful platter. Now, when you have these, you harvest these. These plants are there year-round. This food forest is there year-round. Who tends it? Kathy?
I do. My students do. And the staff of our school will go out and work in the garden.
Even in the summer?
Even in the summer.
Is there a lot of irrigation involved?
Basically, we tried to make it so that it grows in its habitat of South Florida so that I actually don't have to go down and water it. We allow nature's own to go ahead and grow it during the summer. But any of the vegetables that we harvest or that we plant during the year, most of them are harvested by the end of the school year.
These plants are all native to our climate, if not necessarily to Florida. So they can take the droughts, they can take the high heat, they can take the massive amounts of rain that we get on some days. And, you know, with very little maintenance, they grow easily.
By the way, Paul is putting this on Periscope, and you can see the link for our Periscope on TC on Topical Currents Twitter.
Okay,
so you go to Twitter,
right, and also
Topical
at
Currents.
On Facebook. But look, I'm smelling this leaf, and it is just so wonderful. Is this the bay rum?
That is a bay
it
rum.
Smells like Old Spice.
It is actually one of they made it into aftershaves at one point, but it's also used for, it's edible.
It's like a regular bay leaf.
Yeah, you would use it in soups and stews or to flavor rices. It's a natural Caribbean based plant.
It's wonderful. Now, you have a program, Kathy, at the school, which I thought was really, really interesting, where you sit down in the cafeteria with the students. Tell us about that program.
We pick a couple of classes. I have another teacher that works with me, and we take the kids down to the cafeteria at their lunchtime, and we set up with a tablecloth and teach them the proper settings for a table if they're going out to dinner.
This is in the school cafeteria during lunchtime. There's a tablecloth.
There's tablecloths.
The students sit there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And they actually have asked if they could do it all the time because they really, their behavior changes when they sit at this table. They're much quieter. They learn to work together and talk quietly like they're in a regular restaurant.
And what happens to the rest of the students in the cafeteria watching this?
They're wondering why they don't get a chance to do it. How come this class gets to do it? And can we do that? And can we have tablecloths all the time? So it does change their demeanor while they're in there eating.
Wow. Do we have time just for a quick, the
sure.
teacher? Yes, line one. Hello, Diane and Hialeah, you're on the air. We just have a quick 30 seconds here.
Hi, my name is Diana. I'm a teacher in Hialeah. I have a question for Kathy.
Yes.
I have a garden in my school, and I'd like to do a food forest also, but I kind of have some design constrictions. Would it be possible to come to your school and see what your design is?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
So how can I contact you?
You can contact her through the Education Fund. We run all the gardens programs, so you can always contact them through me at DLabelle@educationfund.org.
That's LABELLE.
Yes.
DLabelle, D like in David, at the Education Fund. No, not the. It's at educationfund.org.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. So I hope you get to go see Kathy's and her garden. She'd love to show it to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break here. My guests are Debbie LaBelle, Education Fund Garden Manager, and Kathy Nunnally. She's the lead teacher at the Charles White Elementary. She's the lead teacher for the gardens. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Debbie LaBelle. She's the Education Fund Garden Manager, and Kathy Nunnally. She's a teacher at Charles White Elementary School, and she's in charge of the gardens there. They've been telling us about the edible gardens and the food forest programs in the Dade County Schools. It's been really fascinating. But now it's dinner in minutes time, and so I thought we'd do a salad since we're talking about gardening. And this one is a Chinese salad with an Asian dressing. I thought we'd have a new way to look at things. It's a quick one-dish meal, and it'll spice up your summer evening. Very tasty herbs and vegetables. So first, we're going to boil some steamed Chinese noodles. Now, you can find those in the supermarket in the produce section. So we just want to boil them for a couple of minutes and drain them. And then we'll set them aside. Heat some sesame oil in a wok or a skillet. And we're going to stir fry some cubes of rotisserie chicken. So yes, you can take cooked chicken and you can stir fry that with some red bell pepper and some shiitake or portobello mushrooms. And then I'm going to remove the wok from the heat and stir in some noodles. And the dressing is very simple. You drizzle a mixture of soy sauce, sesame oil, and rice vinegar over the meat and noodles. Put some lettuce on a plate and spoon the meat and noodles over that. And then sprinkle it with some scallions, some cashew nuts. So simple, a quick and easy meal. And if you happen to have these wonderful gardens and everything, you can augment it with all kinds of these.
Is it your standard vinegar and oil ratio?
Not exactly. But I'll tell you what.
By feel? Or?
No, I'm going to tell you, Joe. You can go to dinnerandminutes.com and get the entire recipe.
Oh, you use me as a little way to get hits.
Thank
All
you.
Right, thanks.
Thank you for asking that question.
How do you do it, Linda?
Dinnerandminutes.com. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And please.
Let me write that down, dinnerandminutes.com.
Would you like to say it again? All right. So please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Wine with vegetables?
All right.
You think we wine writers have it easy? Ponder this. What kind of wine goes with potatoes, eggplant, hummus, celery? Or to put it another way, what vegetable would you serve with the big tannic Cabernet Sauvignon? So are you starting to feel any sympathy for us yet?
I know you're going to take care of us, Fred.
I didn't think so. Anyway, that's what Linda asked me to deal with today, so here goes. My first impulse actually was to cheat. You just add cheese to everything. Eggplant grilled with an inch of cheddar melted on top goes nicely with a soft red wine like Malbec or Pinot Noir. Or spaghetti with long simmered tomato sauce goes with a nice Chianti. But here you're sort of cheating because you're matching the sauce and not the food. And even then you can only take it so far, and eventually you have to deal with what wine goes with Linda's Asian noodle and veggie salad. And I'd say that you want something light and bright, white wine like a Pinot Grigio. Or if you throw a few incendiary Thai bird's eye chilies into the salad, which Linda sometimes does, then you need a wine that's white and a little bit sweet.
Not too often, Fred.
Not too often, yeah, I know. Right. But you're getting more braver. I'm proud of you on that.
Oh, thank you.
And you need a wine that's white and a little sweet, like Rieslings and Chenin Blanc and things like that. Now, if you do want to serve red wine with a vegetarian dish, you can make a sandwich. I love to make this. It's a big slab of grilled portobello mushrooms with a handful of grilled bell peppers on it. Put it on a bun and then throw a little cheese on that. Or you can split the difference, and this is kind of a good tip. You can serve a delicate, dry rosé wine with almost any vegetarian dish.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Bonnie?
No, I'll let you. I have a big question for you when you finish.
Okay, maybe this will answer it. What if the dish is vegan? Then all the above flies out the window, and here's why. When wines are made, they're often a little bit cloudy, so to clarify them, winemakers often drop what they call fining agents through them to pick up the particles and carry them to the bottom. And many wines are clarified with egg whites or gelatin, which are both animal products, so no more veganism. Now here you have two choices. One, you can, and I've done this, you can Google the winery website and call its customer service line and ask how they clarified the wine, which is kind of a hassle. Or you can simply buy kosher wine, because kosher wines aren't permitted to use animal products. So they often clarify their wine with finely ground clay like bentonite or something like that. So anyway, that's how hard we wine writers have it. Do you like us now?
We always love you, Fred.
I still
always.
Have a question, Fred. Can I ask Fred a question?
Of course. Uh-huh.
Okay, I want to know what wine goes well with either a tropical storm or a hurricane.
All wines.
Any in a jug.
I think it doesn't matter what kind as much as how much.
Aha. Okay.
Although, actually, when I first came to Florida, I did that. And later on, after my house got torn apart by Andrew, I kind of took a little more soberly after that.
I guess. Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Hopefully, we won't even need it.
Hopefully, we won't.
Let's go back to our edible garden and our food forest. On my website, I have a picture of a food forest. These are huge. They're quite big. How is it funded? How are you doing that?
City is helping us to expand. We're in 51 elementary schools in Miami-Dade County, and 11 of our schools are now City Gardens grown with the education fund. And that's all.
City means Citibank.
Citibank,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, that's great. Well, what if someone who's listening in wants to maybe help with that, or sponsor a garden or something? Is that possible?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Would you say no to money?
No, we're a nonprofit. We never say no.
All right, so that would be the educationfund.org. It's educationfund.org.
Yes.
Okay. And let's go back to Kathy. Kathy, you work with the students, you work in the gardens and all. How do you teach the children about the food that they're eating? What do you do?
We go out, we talk about what vegetables or what trees that we're going to be planting in there, and then we explain to them where they come from, what they're used for. And between the science teachers and myself, we will go through and we will talk about the different plants. We'll put some geography in there, teaching them where they came from and what they're good to use for.
Now, are all students involved in the garden or just a few of the classes? How does it work?
At my school, it's the entire school. Pre-K through a fifth grade.
And do they enjoy it? Do the students enjoy it?
That's their favorite part of the day, being able to go out into the garden.
Can you plant some trees for fruit trees for maybe some fruit in a few years?
Yes, sir. Right now we have banana trees and cherry trees. We're going to have apple trees.
Bodacaba trees.
We're going to have a magic fruit tree.
Tell us that what a magic fruit tree is.
Well, the magic fruit is more of a bush, but it's a West African bush, and you eat the berry, and it changes like the glycolic proteins on your tongue so that anything sour tastes sweet. So, for example, that cranberry hibiscus that you just tasted and took the shock of the how sour it was, if you had had the miracle fruit first, it turns it super sweet.
Wow, that's so. If you had that before anything,
we've done this a while back.
I remember these berries.
And you eat the berry, and everything else tastes sweet after that.
Yeah. But it's an amazing science lesson for the kids in the elementary schools. How a simple thing like a berry can change those taste profiles so dramatically.
And I understand you send some of this produce home.
Yes, ma'am. We grow it. We have a harvest club. Our kids will harvest it out of the garden, and then we will set up a table, and the parents can come in and choose what they'd like to take home with them. We bag it up for them, and they get to take it home at no cost to them.
And who can say no to a kid when they're asking mom to bring home fresh fruit and vegetables?
Really?
Right?
Okay. And are you planning to expand to other schools?
Right now, we just have the 11 food forest gardens.
But you have 51 schools that
City is helping to fund all 51 of our schools. And hopefully with future funding, we can start expanding to more food forests in coming years. So fingers crossed.
You're not saying that you're looking for funding, right?
No. Never say no.
And, this is really fascinating. Are you going to expand, thinking of doing it in middle school, or is it only elementary schools?
Our studies have shown that hitting elementary school kids, the earlier that you start, the more of an impact you have.
Okay, right. Well, there's so many more questions, but we're out of time. Really tasty week. Debbie LaBelle, Education Fund Garden Manager, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Kathy Nunley, teacher at Charles Weitch Elementary School. She's in charge of the gardens, and thank you for joining us and for bringing these wonderful
thank
herbs
you, yes.
for us to taste.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, it's. I wish you both a very good, wonderful, and prosperous, productive school year.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Cooper and Bonnie Berman, great to
thank
be with you.
You. Linda.
Fred Tasker, great
and
advice
Fred.
As always.
Always a pleasure.
Next week, we'll be talking about Labor Day festivities with Chef Michael Schwartz and Chef Daniel Ramirez. They have some fun food ideas for us. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up this edition. Our lead producer, Richard Ive. Technical direction provided by online producer, Paul Leary. You can download the program at our website, WLRN.org, and also more information and links to the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, Bonnie Berman fills in for Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat, What's in Order, a live concert.
A live concert by the Amernay String Quartet, the ensemble in residence at FIU, playing music of Ravel, Brahms, Britten, and much more.
Live in stereo.
Live in stereo, in studio.
On the radio.
And periscoped.
On the radio.
Thanks to Paul.
Monday, we return with a new edition of our popular program, the South Florida History Quiz. Be there with historian Dr. Paul George. As always, it's an amusing hour. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.